Please show your continued support of the Lancer Radio Network by donating to lancerradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sound.
In the 23rd James Bond movie, Skyfall, MI6 Q-Branch equips everyone's favorite secret agent with a personalized smart gun version of his standard Walther PPK, which utilizes a biometric fingerprint scanner to ensure that the gun may be fired in his hands only. This is intended as a failsafe so that, in case Bond's gun is wrestled away from him during a fight, his assailant would be unable to use it to put his living daylights out for good, thus allowing Bond to live to die another day. While the fictional exploits of 007 may seem a little outlandish, the sad fact is that incidents of violent gun crime remain all too common.
You're listening to Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on www.lancerradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. This is the PCC Voices Open Forum with the Pasadena City College Speech and Debate Team. Listen, watch, and learn. I don't know about watching, though. This is radio, DeMario. But today here...
I'm watching you right now.
Oh.
So there you go.
It's making me feel a little uncomfortable and also a little hot.
But we're a unique radio station because we're all internet. So we do record videos. So there's the watching.
Oh, okay. I see.
And we always are teaching so everyone can learn.
We're all learning.
And, of course, the listen. So it works.
Well,
so who do we have here today?
Well, today we have the speech and debate team, and they're going to be talking
about the speech and debate team, the Pasadena City College speech and debate
Our
team.
Own speech and debate team is here today, and we are extremely excited, and I'm going to have everyone go around and introduce themselves, because we want to know a little bit about you.
Sure.
Teach us something, you know, we want to learn.
Yeah. I'm Sean Regan, I'm from Los Angeles, and this is my third year here at PCC.
Mm. And he still has his voice going. Yeah. you can go back to your normal
voice.
This
is how I talk.
Okay.
All right, I'm Ricardo Lopez, and I am from Pico Rivera. This is my third year here, second year competing for the PCC Speech and Debate Team.
Nice. Hi, my name is Alan Axabal Cordero. I'm from Manila, Philippines, by way of Los Angeles. This is my first year at PCC, but I'm actually a teacher here, so... I'm the coach for our speech and debate team. Nice to meet you all.
Oh, okay. My name is Matthew Shoup. I'm from San Gabriel, and this is my third semester here at PCC, so I guess my first full year.
Hi, I am Alicia Batiste. I am from Monrovia, and this is my third year at PCC.
Hi, I'm Alexis Hartsfield. I am from Pasadena, and this is my second year at PCC.
Hi, guys. I'm Alexis Arredondo, and I'm from Arcadia, and it's only my second semester at PCC.
And my name is Chris Vinnan, and I've been on the speech and debate team for almost 7 years now, including today.
Nice.
It's amazing how I've never noticed you before.
Yeah. Sean, could you say something really cool with your voice? Just say anything. Just could you say, you stepped on my shoe, you bastard.
You stepped on my shoe... You bastard. I take requests. I love requests.
I want to make a soundboard of you, like just a Sean Regan soundboard.
There's a line around the corner for that one.
Well, anyways.
I didn't get to introduce myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on, DeMario.
Oh, okay. I'm DeMario Ray, a student here at Pasadena City College in the radio production television program.
That's what all the fuss was about, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now that we've all introduced ourselves, once again, sorry to Mario for skipping over you. But if you guys could just, if I'd like you, Alan, to tell us a little bit about, you know, what it takes to join the speech and debate team, you know, what are some of the qualifications that, you know, go into that?
Well, our speech and debate team, you have to think of it in three parts. It's kind of like a class meets a club meets a sports team. And the reason why I say that is because we operate on all three different levels. The way to join our team is to basically just take speech 5, 5A and 5B, and you will be part of our team / class. But of the class, we only take a certain number to our state competition and our national competition. And the people sitting in this room, the 5 to 6 people sitting in this room, they are some of the few chosen to go to our national competition, which is why they're representing us here at this radio station.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when is that national competition?
When do we leave, guys?
Sunday.
We leave in a couple of days. So we're preparing for that right now, actually.
Wow. And could you guys tell me a little bit about how you guys qualified for the for Nationals?
I can talk a little bit about it, and I think they can also expand.
We just had to show up.
I got lucky.
Yeah. The qualification process has a lot to do with a couple of things. It's not just talent, although that's also obviously appreciated. We look for students who are committed, who are good workers, people who show up on time, every time. Because even if you're not the most talented, if you work really hard, you can definitely improve. Our speech team isn't just about taking people who are already good to a national competition. It's about taking people who want to do well, who aspire to be better, and teaching them how to do that on a national level.
I know what you mean. I used to have problems speaking, too, and then my parents just kept saying, Dada, mama, mama. And then after a while, I caught on, and I was a natural speaker, you know.
Yeah. But, good job, Chris. Yeah. Good job. I'm proud of you. Yeah.
But I heard that there was like some sort of event here last week. Could you fill us in on what that was?
Yeah. Last week on Thursday, we had what's called the Night of Oratory, where we took a lot of our platform speeches, which are basically just speeches where you research a topic that is meant to inform, persuade, or entertain. And we had a showing of those speeches for the students at PCC. Over 100 people came out to see it. It was a really great time. And we're having something similar this Thursday, where we're going to have the Night of Interpretation. Basically, we don't just do speeches. We do debates, and we also do what are kind of known as acting events. They're like monologues that have to last for about 10 minutes. And this Thursday will be a series of monologues from people who do the monologues with a point. They have an argument to make.
So I know that, like based off what you're saying, there are different things that you can do within the speech and debate team. Could I go around the room and ask you guys what your certain, you know, what you guys specialize in?
Of course. Well, I myself, I started out my first semester doing some of those acting pieces, what was called a prose specifically, which is more telling a story. But this year I branched out. I'm doing what are called platforms, which are more speeches, actual speeches. I'm doing two specifically that I'm taking to nationals, one of which is called an informative, which is what I just did at the beginning. And it's basically you take an informative speech is you take a piece of technology or something or other like that, and or something that's not well known, and you basically talk about it. And you don't take a side, you simply inform the audience about it, and you try and make it as interesting as possible without putting them to sleep. and STE, I'm also doing what's called an STE, which is called a speech to entertain. Alternatively, it's known as an after-dinner speech. We're not quite sure which one sometimes. But an STE is essentially a speech. It's a satirical, funny speech. And that one, you take a... you take some sort of topic, and in my case, I took affluenza, which you may or may not have heard. It's a thing going around the country.
Sounds bad.
It's a thing. It's very bad.
It's a term that was used as a legal case, and I'm not going to get into the specifics, but it's really just moronic, for lack of a better word. And I just took a skewer through it and just satirized it.
Wow. Nice.
I do three events that I'm taking to nationals. I specialize, I guess, in the oral interp side. So that's not platform. It's more of the acting, the dramatic pieces. I do prose, which he eloquently just explained what it was. And I also do dramatic interpretation, which is it's basically you take a play or a video of some sort and you go ahead and interpret it into however way possible. And I'm doing a duo with Alexis Hartsfield, who's right here, right behind me. And we got that up in about 2 weeks. So we're really excited to take that at Nationals. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, before we continue, I'd like to ask Sean Reagan to get back up on the mic and finish his speech for us, the one that he gave us a little 30-second teaser.
The whole thing?
Yeah, please.
Next couple of minutes. Yeah, Sean.
Sure.
All right, well, while he's making his way over the microphone, I'm going to keep speaking just so that there is no dead air. He's making his way over the microphone. He's getting ready. He's, the look on his face is intense. He's putting chalk on his hands. He's starting to stretch a little bit, and he's ready to go.
Like we said, it's sports. It's a sport.
And it is a sport.
It's a way of life. Continuing where I left off, a CBS News report featuring statistics from the Bureau of Justice, last accessed on February 7, 2014, stated that approximately 232,000 guns are stolen every year, and sometimes end up in the hands of criminals. However, smart gun technology has the potential to prevent stolen guns from winding up in the hands of armed thugs with a view to a kill.
The National Justice Institute released a report on June 17, 2013, which stated that the primary objective of the smart gun is to link the firing process with a blocking mechanism in such a way that utilizing a smart gun will take less time and be more efficient than using a conventional firearm. Today, I will introduce the innovative technology of personalized firearms, also known as smart guns. To better understand what a smart gun is, I will first describe the technology behind it and explain how it works. Second, I will discuss the potential benefits of smart gun technology. And finally, explore potential drawbacks. So.
Wow. Now, I have a question. Is a smart gun like a smaller version of a regular gun, like the smart car kind of thing?
You know, it seems that we're labeling everything as smart these days, whether it deserves it or not. But a smart gun is essentially... have you seen Skyfall?
I have not seen Skyfall, no.
It's like a 50-50 chance every time I ask somebody that. Yeah, but in Skyfall, James Bond has a gun which is genetically coded to him so that only he can fire it. Mm-hmm. Right. If anyone else tries to shoot it, then they can't, and that saves his life. That's one point in the film. And a smart gun. No, a smart gun is the same sort of thing.
Well, let's talk more about smart guns, smartphones, and smart cars. And
we actually have to go, so we'll be right back in a few.
Thank you for your continued support of the Lancer Radio Network and donating to LancerRadio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds.
I took a bus from Uganda into Rwanda to get here to Burundi. I'm on a mission to stalk and find a real-life man-eating crocodile named Gustav. Folks here say he's killed over 300 people on the banks of Lake Tanganyika. Here in Burundi, there's been a civil war going on for 12 years. A genocide? Like in Rwanda? Hutus and Tutsis killing each other by the hundreds of thousands. And what I'd like to do is write stories about peace, interview civilians like doctors and teachers who are standing up to the 19 warring factions. But no one's interested in stories about peace. So instead, I'm here on assignment to cover the story of Gustav, the one-ton, 25-foot-long killer crocodile.
Well, it sounds like you don't really want to talk about Gustav, but I'd like to talk about Gustav. Once you sit down, could you please tell me where the inspiration came from that piece? Is Gustav like an actual thing, or?
The piece is actually... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The piece is actually taken from a real story that was written and published by the author, Anna Sussman, and this is her real-life experience in Burundi hunting for Gustav.
Hmm. Well, all right. Well, since you just spoke, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to skip Matthew Shoup for a little bit. We'll come back to you. I'm sorry. But could you tell
us... let everybody know what that speech was all about. This is PCC Voices, yes. The open forum with the Pasadena City College speech and debate team, and they are our special guests tonight, or today.
Sorry, yeah. You're listening to PCC Voices, just a reminder, in case you forgot. But please tell us what you specialize in within the speech and debate team.
This is my second year on the team. Last year, I did POI, which is Program Oral Interpretation, which is kind of like an amalgam of pretty much every type of interp put into one piece. And I also did poetry last year. This year, I'm doing another POI, the prose you just saw, and a duo with that guy right there, Ricardo Lopez, my partner in crime.
Hi.
So, yeah, I specialize in the acting side of it, the interp, because I come from a theater background. So cool. I don't do platform ever.
You don't do platform.
No.
Not for you.
But, I do platform shoes.
I'll rock pair of stilettos, but I won't perform.
Well, Mr. Shoup, could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you specialize in?
So this is my first full year on the speech team. I was recruited like that last little 8-week like winter intercession or whatever, and I started with a prose piece that was given to me by Alan. And I've been running that the entire year. Then in October, I put together a duo with another lady on the team, Olivia Hewlett, And we ran that until state. And now for state and nationals, I have a speech to entertain, just like Sean, which is about Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a lot of fun, but it was a very odd topic to get. And it was like, here, I have this topic for you, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it has to be funny. And I was like, how? I don't get this. So I had a lot of help in writing my jokes and putting it together from Alan.
Could you give us a little tidbit of that? Because I want to know what it's about. I want to know how you made Martin Luther King Jr. Day funny.
Matthew, start on your first main point.
My first main point?
Yeah, it's mostly about the speech. It's I Have a Dream speech, basically.
Oh, okay.
And some little-known facts about the speech. Go for it.
Everyone is familiar with Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, but there are some facts about the speech itself and the events surrounding it that aren't widely known. For example, the original prepared speech had no mention of any sort of dream. In fact, it was originally called Normalcy, Never Again. Might as well have been called Obscurity, Where This Speech Belongs. Or Snooze, Wake Me in Nine. Or my personal favorite, Stop, Where's Malcolm X At? So that's just one little piece from it.
That's good. I like that.
That's great, yeah.
Now, Alicia, could you please tell us what you specialize in?
Okay, this is my first full year on the team, and I'm originally a platformer. I have an info piece, just like Sean, and I also have a persuasive piece, which is meant to persuade. And finally, I have an interp, which is poetry piece, that I'm really super psyched about.
Could you tell us what... like you said that you're doing, working on a persuasive speech. What are you trying to persuade people to? You know, like what's the point of it? Why?
That is an interesting question. My topic is about bias in forensic psychology, mm-hmm. and mostly my speech is trying to make people aware of this problem and trying to since people are aware of the problem, they're better able to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the purpose of my entire speech.
And what's the problem?
Is that forensic psychologists happen to be biased toward the side that retains them.
Oh, all right. I see. And now Alexis Arredondo.
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 That's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, could you tell us what you specialize in?
Yeah, so this is my second semester on the speech team, and I do more of the acting interpretations, and so the first speech that I did was a dramatic interpretation, and it's kind of about this girl that goes crazy and tries to stab her mother to death, and it was given to me by Alan. I tend to get... yeah, so...
I'm getting pinned with all the weird topics here.
I get all the crazy person topics, and then I also have a poetry that's about lying, and I also have a duo that's more humorous, and my duo partner's not here, but it's kind of funny, I think.
Kind of.
Yeah,
it's fine. Really funny.
Super funny.
You know what, Chris? I think we should actually get into some of these speeches.
Yeah, I want to listen to some of these.
And then after that, continue the interview. Did we talk about, like, the awards that this speech and debate team has won and things like that?
We have not talked about the awards, but I'd like Alan to quickly brag about his own team.
Well, I'd like to start by saying that I'm extremely proud of everyone in this room. And having said that, they've won a number of awards. I can't count how many first place trophies this team and the people in this room specifically have acquired throughout the season. Our season basically starts in September, and we go on to regional championships in the fall and in the spring. And then we go on our state championship, which was 2 weeks ago. And at our state championship, we took eighth place, which is a really great score. A couple of people in this room here took gold medals, which is basically the highest medal that you can achieve, wow. including Ricardo Lopez, who's sitting next to me, Alexis Arredondo. Who else won gold in here? Is that mostly it? And a lot of people have also won silver and bronzes, and again, multiple awards. But it's not really the awards for me. They're great students. They're great people. They're fun to be around, and that's why they're going to our national team.
And now, are these awards for just speech? How does it work, speech and debate? Do you have, like, events that are just for debating or a combination?
Yeah. There's a minimum height requirement.
I guess Thanks, I'm Ricardo. Basically, we have four different genres, to be specific. We have what's called... an individual event, right, which has, it breaks down into three types. We have limited preparation, We have very small time to prepare a speech, usually around 2 minutes to 30 minutes to prepare a speech that has to last anywhere between 5 to 7 minutes. We have our platform speeches, which you've heard Sean do, which is the kind of speech you do in your regular speech class. You're given a topic, you have a couple of weeks to research the topic, and then you can rehearse that topic for another couple of days before you give it. We have the interpretation of literature, which involves the acting events like the monologues, and the last one is debate, which is what you traditionally think of as debate. Two sides have an issue, and they go at it, and they try. The point of that is to try to create educational fodder for us so that we understand the sides of the issue and what to vote on.
Now, is this all from memory, or is it like, do you have teleprompters like the president and things like that?
If only we were so presidential. No, limited prep has no prep whatsoever, basically no memorized script. Everyone else basically has a memorized script except for debate. Same thing. They're given the topic the day of, and they must debate based on what they know and have researched up to that point. But the acting and the platform speeches, those are memorized with a lot of leeway time.
All right. Well, let's get into this next speech. For those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to the PCC Voices Open Forum with the award-winning Pasadena City College Speech and Debate Team. And Chris, who is up right now and who will be next?
Right now we have Alicia Batiste, and after that we're going to be listening to Ricardo Lopez.
Okay.
Yeah. At 22 months old, Cooper Mulling was diagnosed with autism, with conditions of sensory processing issues and apraxia. Cooper could not be touched, held, or hugged without screaming. Late into the night, his mother, Elizabeth Mullen, would sneak into his room while he was sleeping. With Cooper's condition, this was the only chance Elizabeth had to hold and cradle her autistic child, according to the Child Mind Institute website on December 11, 2012. After years of believing that one day Cooper's condition would improve, a guinea pig named Coco came into Cooper's life. Upon 3 months of Coco's arrival, Cooper's tolerance to different sensations changed. Today, I will inform you about the potential guinea pigs have in helping autistic children cope with the social and communication difficulties associated with autism. According to Medical News Today, last updated August 1st, 2013, autism is known as a complex developmental disability, which affects the development of a person's communication and social interaction skills. A new study in Science shows that animals such as guinea pigs may significantly increase positive social behaviors in children who have autism. To better understand how a guinea pig like Coco can help Cooper's condition, I will first begin by discussing the recent research and theories of Maggie O'Hare, a doctoral candidate in psychology at the University of Queensland. Second, I will further examine the beneficial results of O'Hare's research. And finally, I will consider the limitations and future implications of this research.
Okay, that was very, very, very informative. could you? How long did it take you to research all of that? Because there was a lot of, there was a lot of information in that. It was an informative speech.
It took me about 3 months to get that speech together.
Wow. 3 months.
Platforms take a long time.
Yes.
He took from October till, like, a month ago.
Well, you were kind of slacking on that, too.
Quickly, Alan, how do you teach them to be better speech writers, and what's the process? Like, what are you correcting?
Speech writing specifically?
Yes.
Well, it's a lot the same thing that you would learn in any regular public speaking class. You start with how to find good topics, because that really dictates a lot. And then it's structuring from there. You know, how do you create a good outline to make sure that the arguments are going to be sound? And then the last thing, once the outline's finished, you know what the content's going to be, crafting language that is simple, clear, and vivid to understand. And that's got to be really difficult.
So it's not really about big words and words that you have to look up in a dictionary and stuff like that?
It's quite the opposite, actually. Public speaking is meant to be understood in the moment that you are hearing it. So if you hear a speech and you're just thinking to yourself, I don't know what the hell that word means, or what is that, you know, I need 10 minutes to process all of that, then you are not speaking properly. It's a little like spoken word. If you guys are familiar with spoken word poetry, you know, poetry in your English classes, that might have hurt your brain a lot.
Yeah.
But poetry, spoken word, is supposed to be understood in the moment that you're hearing it, and good public speaking does the same thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, going off that, I'm going to say the following in vernacular. You're listening to the Lancer Radio Network, and we will be right back after the break. We're going to have some more speeches. The next one's going to be by Ricardo Lopez.
Yeah, Ricardo, go ahead and get up there.
Oh, just start. Right. Get up there.
Who's next? Is it Ricardo next?
Ricardo is next.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, never mind. Forget the break.
No, go up and prep while we go to break. All right?
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
All right, this
we're
is
going
Lancer,
to break.
This is Lancer Radio Network.
This is Lancer Radio, and we'll be right back.
Please show your continued support of the Lancer Radio Network by donating to LancerRadio.org. Pasadena Campus Sounds.
I just recently became a father. And by that, I mean that my father's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Oh, no. Don't feel uncomfortable. He's doing well. He has no insight into his own condition. He's taken care of. He's comfortable. It's like this. It's like life. Well, life just handed him a lemon, and he's using it as a remote control right now. I mean, the dude is on airplane mode. He's having a great time. He's taking his shirt off in public. He's drinking a whole bunch of Diet Pepsi, and then he's just... And he's just recycling it right into the sock drawer. I'm not ready to be a father. I'm the same age my father was when he had me. He's 70, I'm 35. But I'm not prepared for this. I still smoke pot. Out of apples. I cut my hand open the other day because I was trying to make drunk guacamole at 5 in the morning. I did not have a Band-Aid, so I'd obviously got ribbon from a Christmas present I wrapped my hand around, and I sat on it. Because the truth is, I don't have insurance. So when I get hurt, if I get hurt, I have to die. But I love my dad, and he's a great guy, so I'm going to do this for him. The National Alzheimer's Association estimates that currently in the United States, over 5 million people suffer from this disease. It currently ranks 6th in the nation in leading cause of death, but overwhelmingly, it is commonly described as one of the worst ways to die. As an individual's mind becomes unraveled, so do their identities, the identities of those that love and care for them. But as comedian Chris Garcia comes to show us, to become unraveled is to learn how to put yourself back together. Still Very Much in Love by Chris Garcia.
That was
You're listening to the PCC Voices Open Forum right here on the Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on LancerRadio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. I am DeMario Ray, co-hosting with Mr. Chris Vinon.
Hello.
We are here with the award-winning Pasadena City College speech and debate team. And who was just up?
That was just Ricardo Lopez and... I forgot what your speech was about, and I can't remember.
Well, wow. Thank you.
What was it about? Sorry.
Nothing important. I think
memory
Alzheimer's.
Loss disorder.
I'm Alzheimer's.
I forgot it was about Alzheimer's. But
that's unfortunate.
I hadn't forgotten. I was just joking. It's April Fool's month. You know, April Fool's. It doesn't have to be just the day. You know, it's the entire month. And this
or
is
year.
We are in April.
Since
April.
This will be rebroadcasting. Yeah.
That's true. But that was a great speech, man. And a lot of. And are those one of the ones that had have humor?
Yeah. The next, I want to say 20, 30 seconds right after, it's part of the funniest moment of that entire speech.
Man.
I love performing that one, though. It's my baby.
Man. Well, that was a good speech. Do you have any personal, was that, I couldn't tell if you were being, genuine about it. Is that like a personal,
that's the thing. We have to be genuine. All of our emotion has to be, I guess, tapped from similar past experiences, whatever we can manage to muster up, we have to throw that into our performance since we're given little resources. I mean, the only resource we have is this little black book.
Mm-hmm.
This is all we had. But no, that was actually a stand-up piece that the director of forensics, our other coach, Josh Fleming, he found, and he gave it to me, and he said, this is perfect for you, so I just took it.
No, it was great, yeah. But let's see, we've... Is there anything like? How long did it take you to look that up to do?
I didn't look it up. All I had to do was memorize it and practice.
So, Alan, How often do you guys practice? Is it every day? For multiple hours?
When do we not practice?
And where do you practice? Now bring that up because I see you guys in the hallways looking at walls, looking crazy.
We're the crazy people talking.
Oh, those aren't people from the team. Those are just crazy
people. Oh, those are the crazy people.
Well, I wanted to start by saying that it should be known that there's a coaching staff. I'm one of the coaches. Another one of the coaches is Cindy Fu. She's another faculty member on our team. And then there's Dave Machen, who is also one of the coaches who actually... Is it Machen?
It's Machen.
You guys just met?
How it's pronounced.
I never have to say Dave's last name. I just know him as Dave. So Dave is actually a grad student working at Cal State LA as well. And then our director of forensics is Josh Fleming, who Ricardo was just talking about. So between the four of us, we try to practice these guys as much as possible. We have a class meeting time, which is Tuesdays and Thursdays, for about an hour and a half, but... They're supposed to be practicing a lot more than that. So like I said, right, class, team, and club.
Yes.
They have these individual
class,
events.
Class, team, and club. I like that.
Yeah, it's a class, team, and club. And so they kind of have homework, and their homework is to be able to do practice on their own, you know, because you can memorize a speech at home. You can practice in a speech at home. And then when they come to us, it's to help refine the choices that they've made and to work as an editor to kind of polish things. And they should be meeting with us more than I'd like, but I'm kind of like a maniac when it comes to practice, so I'm kind of biased in that.
So what would you suggest? Let's get some tips from you.
Sure.
Is that okay, Chris?
Yeah, good.
What would you suggest when a student comes in that has a lisp or some kind of speech impediment? Like, how would you coach them up to improve their speech?
Actually, you know what?
Outside of building confidence.
Yeah. If someone has a lisp or some speech impediment, I wouldn't try to coach that out of them. I've had speech impediments before, and I just said, let's do a speech on speech impediments. Let's take what you think is your weakness, and let's own that, and let's make that yours. Because it's not about perfect articulation all the time. It's about communicating properly really well. That's what I want. And honestly, that's something for a speech pathologist as opposed to a speech teacher. I just want to make sure that the students have confidence in how they're speaking and how they're communicating. So, for that specific question, that's what I'd say. But in terms of confidence, that takes practice. That's not something that you just teach.
Yeah.
Confidence comes with accumulated successful experiences over time. So hopefully if you just prepare them enough, they'll have those experiences and that confidence will grow in them. But I can't put it in there for them.
Now, going off what you just said, you were talking about building up confidence, and I was looking around the room and some people were nodding their heads like, oh yeah, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, does anyone have any personal stories or anything about, you know, them having to build up their confidence?
While you're thinking of that, who's next? So we want to get to the next person.
Could we have speech. Matthew Shoup step up to the microphone while we're speaking?
Well, for the longest time when I was younger, I had a...
When I was younger.
Younger, yes. When my voice was just an octave higher. It was very difficult for me to speak up and just to be heard, you know. I've had this voice since I was young, since I was 12, but for several years, you know, it's like I just could not get communicate effectively. And this has helped tremendously with my own self-confidence, and I've done stuff in high school. I did comedy sports and I did theater, and that helped as well. But it's such a great experience being on this team, knowing how to communicate effectively and using the written word and the spoken word as a tool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people that first come out to the team, they're very intimidated by some of the veterans or some of the people that have already competed. But as far as the building confidence aspect, when we first have an event, we take it to that first tournament where we have to just roll with it. It may not be as prepared as we want it to be. It may not be as good as we want it to be. But we just have to, we need that feedback, and that can crush a lot of people, because if you're used to doing well with a certain piece, you have a new one, you probably will not do as well as you want to. And so, yeah, the coaches are there to kind of guide us in the right way. But like it is a team, as soon as you start playing, it's up to you.
All right, you're listening to PCC Voices Open Forum right here on the Lancer Radio Network. We are here with the world-renowned, no, the award-winning Pasadena City College Speech and Debate Team. And up next, we have who, Chris?
Matthew Shoup.
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 Let us have it, Matthew.
You stop it. You stop it right now. I brace myself. Coco, the alpha female of the barn, again lowered her head and charged straight into my hip. Signing up for a joke class, wasn't turning out to be as funny as I thought. A lot of college seniors will take an easy joke class just to help them cruise by during their last semester. I spent hours scouring the Rutgers course listings until I found a class that was so weird, I knew I'd come out on top. Animal grooming, husbandry, and exhibition. Section, goat.
I know there's more to that speech, and that was such a great opening. Could you tell me a little bit about what comes after that?
Well, I don't want to give too much away because I'm actually performing this Thursday at Night of Oratory?
Of Interpretation.
Sorry, that was last week.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about, this is a piece written by Chris Gethard called World's Foremost Goat. Mm-hmm. And it's, as far as I can tell, as far as I've been able to find out, it's an actual experience he had where he took this, you know, goat grooming class, and basically the goat became his therapist.
And he entered a goat competition.
Yeah, and he entered a goat competition, and that's kind of where everything comes to a head, and that's the climax right there. But like I said, I don't want to give too much away, so hopefully I left you wanting more so that you'll come this Thursday.
I think that's an invite, Chris.
Yeah. No, I will be there. That was like a little trailer that you just gave us, and I really liked it. It was not bad. Well, that's a sheep. A sheep.
Well,
never
see,
mind.
Sheep, sure.
Goat, whatever. Same
for
thing.
Interpieces, that's what I just performed for you is called a teaser. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to get you interested in what I'm about to perform for you. So it did its job.
So going back to your performances, how many do you have a semester?
Ooh, you mean like the ones we're gonna have this Thursday?
Yeah, how many have you done so far, and how many you still have to do?
Well, that only happens once a semester, if that. Okay. But the competitions happen almost every month. There's usually one a month, and we travel to a school in the region, Cal State Long Beach, Cal State Fullerton, Northridge, wherever. And a lot of other schools show up, somewhere between 20 to 30, and we all try to compete to see who has the best speaker on our team.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In, you know, shorthand.
Yeah.
There's more to that. It's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to get back to the instructors. Have you guys all participated in the speech debate team?
Yeah.
Somewhere in high school or college? Or?
Yeah, I believe. Well, I know Cindy and I have. Josh has.
Dave did.
Pretty for sure. Yeah,
he
Dave
competed,
did too.
He competed
at Glendale.
Glendale. So, yeah, we've all had a personal experience. We've all been on a speech team and, you know, gone to state and nationals ourselves.
That's always good, just from my experience being in sports and things like that, to have whoever's teaching you actually have done it.
Yeah, that
so
helps.
They're not just teaching you something they read, right?
No.
They're teaching you from experience. And,
no, this
you know,
is not theoretical.
Yeah.
It's all stuff that is comes from hands-on experience.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything that comes from a book?
From a book for this?
Our pieces.
You could say that. A lot of the fundamentals of public speaking is the stuff that, again, you'd learn in a basic public speaking class, but so much of it comes from just having gone through it.
Well, right now, when we come back from the break, we're going to learn a little bit more, not from a book, but we're going to learn from the people here in the studio.
And here's some more. Who has to speak?
Oh, we have before the break.
Just one more? Mm. One performance? That's it. Oh, grand finale. This better be good. And it can't be a teaser. You got to give it to all two.
The
all
whole
2 minutes.
Thing.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Alexis.
No.
All right. This is
Spotlight.
This is the PCC Alexis. Voices Open Forum right here on the Lancer Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you for your continued support of the Lancer Radio Network and donating to LancerRadio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds.
While waiting in the cold plastic of the local Planned Parenthood, for the results of my HIV/AIDS test, I thought of you. Playing Nintendo. Live streaming porn from the internet, checking your email while on the toilet, you and your normal day. How relieved you must feel while unloading these 120-pound secrets off your chest, girl by girl by girl, as if a few moments of honesty absolves you from a year and a half of lies. I watch my blood conquer the gauze pad, another spill I cannot clean up, while the technician collects the liquid of me into a glass straw moments prior. She asked me how I was doing. I cried. Never been comfortable with lying. For the first time in weeks, I wish you were here to teach me how. While waiting in the cold plastic of the local Planned Parenthood for the results of my HIV/AIDS test, the nurse is not uneasy with honesty. In 60 seconds, she will ask me to count my number of sexual partners. She will ask how many of them have been women, if I have had anal sex, sex on drugs, and yes, marijuana and alcohol count as drugs. If I've had sex with someone who I know shares his needles. I'm not sure how to tell her. I don't know what is true anymore. That sometimes I wish you had hit me so that I could call this by name. She leaves the room while my blood decides if it wants to kill me just yet. It will know in 10 minutes. The top 40 radio channel seems unfit here, while a rapper famous for tying his wife up in the trunk of a car and a pop star who wears a black eye like a hot new trend, sing into the radio, "I love the way you lie." It seems, at best, insensitive.
That was really, really great. I don't know. I can't really say anything about that, but cool. You're listening to the Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on www.lancerradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. This is the PCC Voices Open Forum with the Pasadena City College Speech and Debate Team. Listen, watch, learn. And we've been doing a lot of all those three things today here. But before we wrap up the show, I'd like to ask Alan, is there any, I mean, we really want to, you know, tell people, you know, what the speech and debate team is. We want them to know what it's about.
Yeah.
We really want, like I was saying, like DeMario was asking you earlier, is there anything that you'd like us, like that you'd like to say on the air?
I mean, the thing I'd like to point out is, and I think that everyone here can attest to this, it's really fun to do, and you'll learn so much. You get smart real quick on this team too. usually after we have our big public performances, I usually try to do some shout outs for our team, like, hey, you should join because of the following reasons. And obviously, you know, it's great for public speaking. Mm-hmm. It's great for your resume. Yeah. But there are a lot of intangibles that people don't realize, the friendships that you make on this team. At a community college, I did the same thing. I was at a community college and on a speech team. And it wasn't until I found the speech team that I felt like it was my college to go mm-hmm. to. You know, I had a place and I had a community and people who knew me. And I felt like I was a part of something bigger than myself. So, yeah, you'll get rock star confidence and winning self-esteem and assertiveness if you join our team. But there's so many other really great things that are intangible that are worth having. And any one of these students would attest to that for sure. So speech 5A and 5B, just come on out. If for nothing else, just to have a fun time and to learn how to be a better public speaker.
Now, can I ask you guys, some of you guys, to attest to what he just said, please?
Well, I was actually at UC Riverside for almost 4 years before this, mm-hmm. and because of problems, I had to come home. Mm-hmm. I took a year off of school, and then my grandma finally pushed me to come to PCC. And one of the first classes I took here, like I said before, was the Speech 1 class. And Josh Fleming taught that, our director of forensics, and he is such a great teacher. He made that class like really like welcoming and open, and he was almost like your friend mm-hmm. while still being your teacher. He played that line really well, and you know, he asked me to join the team, and at first I was like, wow, that's really like a lot. I don't know if I could actually do this, but you know, the first month I was really terrified, but then when I started working
working on pieces and getting to know all these people. Like Alan said, I finally, you know, felt I belonged. And it's really nice to have a group of all these speech nerds that are just like you, you know, to kind of spur you on and to celebrate your successes and be there when, you know, you don't do as well as you wanted to. But I've made a lot of great friendships on this team, and it's been really helpful, you know, getting me back up to a place where I feel I can actually, you know, succeed again at school. So I love this team.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Any of you guys want to attest to what he said?
Honestly, I similarly to Shoop, I was recruited by Josh Fleming way back last year when he saw me in a play. And I honestly credit Josh with kind of changing my life, because... like, I came onto the team with rock star confidence and assertiveness, but what I gained being on the team is not only being a better performer, but just being a better person. Like, being on speech changes you in so many ways that you're not cognizant of when you sign onto the team. Like, this is my last year competing on the two-year level, and I can honestly say just in the short time that I've been here, just... learning how to take criticism and to give criticism and to be a good teammate, a good competitor, it's just really affected me. And I don't know, I honestly just, I'm beyond grateful for the experience I've had here.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I also had something similar to both of them. It's gonna be similar all the way around. Everyone has their own reason for being on the speech team. It's one thing to join, but it's another thing to stay. To stay for the long run, to want to go to state, to want to go to nationals. And I remember when I first came to Josh inquiring about the speech team, I wasn't recruited or anything. I had a broken leg. So just moving, mobility for me was very limited. So I didn't get to participate that semester. But he did have me compete against two other people that kind of just joined speech 5A and 5B. And I hated it. It was horrible. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. I was scared. I was nervous. He didn't get to coach me. I was coached by some people that were already on the team. Mm-hmm. And he told me as soon as it ended, "So you're coming back, right?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? You want to embarrass me again?" But no, I came back, and it changed my life without a doubt. It's speech 5A and 5B with everyone here is one of the only reasons I'm still in school, to be honest. Just being on the speech team, it gives purpose to PCC. It gives you a reason to want to come, and you need certain credits to compete. Oh, crap, I guess I'll take school stuff. So that's the way I was looking at it. And now it's just I want to do this for forever. As soon as it stops, it's going to feel very surreal. Yeah. We have this thing where after state and nationals, you go through withdrawals. and they hit hard.
Yeah.
They hit hard.
Man. You agreed with him earlier? And
I did agree. I remember when I was in high school, I was in theater, and the only reason I went to school was because of theater. And then I came to PCC, and I was like, okay, I need to find something. And Alan recruited me. And my first day on the team, I was super intimidated by everyone because I could already see it was a closely knit family. And I was like, how am I going to be as good as these people? And I was really impressed. And now they're like my best friends, and I look forward to coming to school just to see them, even if I'm not going to perform that day, just to hang out with my friends on the speech team.
Well, that means a lot to me. Thank you. that was just Alexis, and she's actually going to go up and speak right now. She's going to go ahead and do her last.
Or does anyone have
anyone?
One?
Sorry,
this is a
anyone
surprise.
Anything?
We would like a surprise one.
An impromptu. Yeah, if
something really quick, or you
I could
can repeat
do my intro.
How long does it have to be?
Just keep going.
Like two
this
minutes,
is at the end of the show, and while he's setting
Howard.
Up, you can promote the next event. We have to do it quickly. We only have 2 minutes left. Whoever, who wants
intro.
A bonus?
Right. Do it, Shoop.
Showtime.
Okay. Well, Shoop's going up.
It should be Shoop, yeah.
All right, so Alan,
everybody Shoops.
What can we look forward in the future with the speech and debate team?
Well, our speech and debate team is all about reaching new standards of excellence, so it's tough when you're already pretty excellent, to be honest with you. But every time we hope to expand, we love having a big team and having a lot of people on that team. We love going to nationals every year. and doing the best that we can. So for now, it's about consistency. Can we stay, you know, where we're at the level that we're at? And is there any room to grow? So in the next couple of years, it'll be looking for that room but maintaining a level of quality that we've already set up for ourselves.
Okay. So in closing...
Well, you're listening to my voice here on Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on www.lanceradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. This is the PCC Voices Open Forum with the Pasadena City College Speech and Debate Team. Listen, watch, and learn. And we're going to be leaving after this, so please speak as we all leave the studio.
My favorite holiday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Every third Monday of January, I cannot wait to do something inspired. This past MLKJR Day, I started by watching 12 Years a Slave. Uh-huh. And I followed that up by renewing my membership with the NAACP. And finally, I started a petition to end segregated social events in Georgia schools. Who am I kidding? I didn't do any of that. You want to know what I did? I went to school, accidentally, and when no one was there, I went home and took a nap. But while I was asleep, I had a dream. Okay, no, I didn't have a dream either. But someone did. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dared to dream of a racially integrated future at a time when such an idea seemed impossible. His I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington led to the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and immortalized him in history as a champion of civil rights. But according to the Huffington Post of February 12, 2014, the New York Times from September 27, 2013, a large-scale field study from the William T. Grant Foundation from June 2011, numerous journals on race and ethnic studies, various race relations experts, and Stephen Colbert. For all the strides America has made towards racial equality, racial injustice still exists today. In our workplaces, in our media, in our justice system, and in our Barbies. Shanae still ain't getting no love from white girls. So today, I will talk about the historic I Have a Dream speech by first shedding light on some little-known facts about the speech itself. Second, examine some ways in which America has yet to achieve Dr. King's dream. And finally, reveal some ways in which we can help make that dream a reality.
Thank you for your continued support of the Lancer Radio Network and donating to LancerRadio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds.